Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Squirrel with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Okay, it's a cool day today in New York City in Queens. It's 7 o'clock. The sun is brightly not shining, New York City is preparing for the big ball to drop. I forgot they said how much it weighs. Wow, I'm telling you, they said how much it was, like twice the size of last year or something. Can you imagine if that ball, like, actually, you know, fell off and, like, landed on people? I mean, like, really? Then again, it would be a great thing to do for a movie, you know. Another disaster movie that could come about, you know. Yes, I'm saying, you know, just like Caroline Kennedy, who keeps saying, you know, and will be sure that Saturday Night Live will capture that and do that with her. I believe, you know, and I said, you know, again. A lot of people do that, you know. Whether she qualifies or not, Caroline Kennedy will be noted for, you know. I would tell you who's going to be on tonight. I would if I could. However, I will reveal that after a message. God, I need them now. From our
what would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Nah, I haven't had my fairy tale brownies in a while. Oh my goodness! And now that they've been adding to it, they're now enrobed with the dark chocolate as well. How chocolatey can you get? Food, yeah. I wanted to do a food segment. I wanted to do all the segments. Everybody turned around and says, we're busy tonight. We can't do it. And we'll come on next week, you know. I even have a book in front of me called So Now You Know. It says a compendium of completely useless information, you know? And let's see what I have in this here. It's the book is by Harry Bright and Harlan Briscoe. And I probably can do a lot of, like, music, and I also want to, of course, push my book, World Worth a Merle. It's a humorous life, and I'll read a chapter from the book. But let's see what this one has. The answer to the old age question of which came first, the the chicken or the egg can be found in the Bible. Can it? It says Genesis 1:20-22. I guess I'll have to check that out, huh? The chicken or the egg. That was a joke about that. There was a chicken. It was actually a cartoon. A chicken and an egg in bed having sex. And the chicken is sitting up smoking a cigarette and says, well, now you know. Okay. Let's see. The name for the search engine Google is derived from the word Google, which refers to the number 1 followed by 100 zeros. Okie dokie. If the DNA in all your cells were laid out in a single strand, it would stretch from the Earth to the Moon more than 246,000 times. I'm thrilled. I didn't know that. On six-sided dice, the opposite sides always add up to 7. We'll have to do that. The muzzle of a lion is like a fingerprint. No two lions have the same pattern of whiskers. I didn't even notice that. Well, I only was holding one lion cub in my arms and petting it when I was in South Africa, which is the photo on the cover of my book, because it's so cute. One of the local newspapers, the Times Ledger, called me up and interviewed me about my book. And then they sent over a photographer. And Steve, my webmaster, and the webmaster of the New York Sharks, was over here, and he was YouTubing the woman taking my picture. So we're going to be doing some YouTube as well as, radio and writing. Yeah. Let's see what else. Genetically speaking, zebras are black with white stripes, not white with black stripes. They have black skin, even under the white hair. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Actually, I thought a zebra was the largest size bra that you can find. Let's see, giraffes and humans have the same number of vertebrae in their neck, 7. The giraffes are just much larger. No shit. Look at that. Let's see what else. Let's see. 90% of the world's ice is in Antarctica, though precipitation there averages only 2 inches per year. Well, at least they didn't. 90%. I wonder what happens if they lose the recipe to make ice. You know. Let's just see another one here. The entire population of China were to walk past you in single file, you would not live long enough to see the end of the line. Really? That's some subway systems, too. The driest place on Earth is in Calama, a town in the Atacama Desert of northern Chile, which has no recorded rainfall. Well, piss on you. The world's least populated country is Vatican City, which has roughly 1,000 residents. Pray tell. I didn't know. Look at that. We'll go through some other things here. In the meantime, this is music night. I'm just going to go through a lot of the songs I have here as soon as I'm having trouble with my computer right now. Okay, stop doing what you're doing. I want to click on a thing. Right, just before I went on the air, my computer did one of those freeze things, you know what I mean? Now what? My screen just went dark. My screen just went dark. That's it. Just, no, it's coming back. Whoa. Come on, I need to get the switchboard back. All right. While it's oh, it's going to be a good night. No people. No switchboard. In the meantime, I don't normally talk politics. But the things are getting so absurd. Here in New York, all right, we have a governor, right? The governor who we didn't elect. All right, we elected him as lieutenant governor, but he didn't elect him as governor, who is now, because of Hillary leaving, has to appoint a senator who we didn't elect. Go figure. I'm for Caroline Kennedy. I don't know. What the heck? Yeah, why not? Have a little fun. Caroline, come on board. She'll probably do something for us. I don't know what Hillary thinks, so now, then we have in Chicago, the situation is sort of the thing now that they need to pick a senator, but this time the governor is like under arrest or accused and whatever is going on there with him. I'm not sure he's selling the seat or he's selling it. I don't know whether he is or not, but that's, you know. So you got a guy who's being accused or who's, you know, really whatever. He's in hot shit. Okay. So, in other words, Barack departs from top seat in the country, and now this governor who's on the hot seat gets to appoint a senator, right? And he's naming someone before he gets arrested, I guess. And I don't know, people are not happy with whoever he's naming. Yeah, yes. This is, all right. But then now we have local. It gets more local. Well, I'm here in Queens. Here in Queens, what happened was my New York City councilman, Dennis Gallagher, he gets arrested he's charged with raping. And of course, no one, you know, it's not like anyone want to say they, you know, they did it or whatever. But I thought it was interesting, and I don't really know, but this is the thing that I thought about. His thing was that it was consenting sex. Now, Dennis is married and has kids. So regardless of it, I mean, he went off, he met this woman in a bar. I don't know whether he knew her or whatever, but he met her in a bar and they went to his office. Now, he could have easily just said, hey, I'm a married man. There's no one in the office. I don't think we should go there. Excuse me. That would be the right thing to do. So to say, to come off and, regardless of what it is, you know, consenting. Although, well, whatever. I'm just saying it. You know, if you get what I mean. And so he steps down. I don't know whether he got arrested. I don't know what he's charged. I don't know what the story is. But he's in politics, so, yeah, who knows what will happen with the rape charges. All right, so we get some special election, and we have Elizabeth Crowley. She's now my councilwoman, but not for long, because that was a special election, and it's like hiring a temp, you know? Yeah, that was a, you understand. And my assemblyman, Anthony Seminario, now, he goes to hell. I mean, that's hotter than hot, being in hot water. Because he's charged, now this is what it's saying, he's charged with corruption. And according to the news, he took hundreds of thousands of dollars in illegal payoffs from contractors, somebody that doing state work. It was something with state issues. Okay, but regardless, so now I'm asking. So who is my assembly person right now? And I made a couple of phone calls. They tell me it's still him. So until I understand, until the city state thing. So they have to prove that he did this. But in the meantime, he can go as far as like 10 years or until he resigns or beaten in the next election. Oh, I need to move out of Woodhaven. So this is where I am over here in politics. And then of course we have with the what is going on here with my my computer froze. My computer's frozen. And if somebody calls, I can't see anything. I'm going to have to. You know what I got to do? All right. This is absurd. I don't know what's happening with this whole thing. I'll talk some more. But usually I don't do this, but I just kind of pull the plug out. And I'll just have this restart now that I have, because all of these people are going to call in, and I won't even know, and we wouldn't want that to happen. And I can't play the music. I can sing. I don't want to sing. Not without, you know, a cappella. I don't like singing a cappella or a cappella. That's something that, you know. Star Spangled Banner. All right, now I'll go back and put. Yeah, I'm sorry for the noise. I'm bending over here. I'll put the machine on again. Let's see if I can get anything. Okay, put the computer back on. And. Okay. Well, it's coming back on. I really wanted to do music. So my book, I will, since the preview of the book is online, like if you go to Lulu, LULU.com, and you look for my book, Whirl with Merle, It's a Humorous Life. The book preview, you can see the table of contents, introduction, and first chapter. So I decided to not to, you know, people don't need to preview seeing the acknowledgments. You could also see the back and front of the book. Yep. The foreword is by Andrew Douglas, the owner of the New York Sharks, by the way. And so I'm not going to read the chapter titles, but so what I'll read to you right now is, while I'm waiting for everything to come up on my fucking computer. I'll clean it out later. Okay, I'll read you my introduction. Writer, editor's note. This is a book of humor. It is not a puzzle book. You don't get credit for pointing out or debating possible mistakes, like words that I make up, or grammatical errors that no one really gives a shit about. You know which ones I mean, like whether you close a quote before or after the damn period. Enjoy! Hi, my name is Merle Exit. Well, actually, that's my stage name. You see, I changed it to Exit so that I can see my name up in lights. When people ask me if I'm from Queens, I tell them, no, my folks are straight. I guess that gives you the idea that I have a sense of humor. Nobody told me that I had to subdue my laughter, and believe me, with life being funny, I wanted to share it with everyone. In fact, there wasn't anything I wouldn't do if it got someone to laugh. I'm putting on internet, okay. My sense of humor came from my family, particularly on my father's side. There were lots of jokes from my dad, Max, as well as the six brothers and sisters, a.k.a. the Motley Crue. My father shied away from delivering jokes that were not for young ears, or even later being that I was his baby daughter. Thus, it was mostly puns. No lengthy jokes emerged. It was my Uncle High who had advised me as a preteen to change my last name to Exit. It was also about that time that I remember being at my Aunt Mickey's house when he asked her if it would be okay to tell me the joke about something. My aunt responded with, just as long as you don't say fuck. Okay. My mother Gertrude, a.k.a. Goldie, tended to share the dirty jokes with me. And I had a sarcastic way about her. Hey, Mom, I have show and tell today. What can I do? Show your ass and tell about it, came the answer. She seemed to have a focus on the anal portion of one's body when it came to humor. The first limerick that I could remember was one she told me. There once was a lady from Kent who shit wherever she went. She went to the fair to try to shit there, but they clogged up her hole with cement. There's just some things you don't forget. I can also recall times that I was punished for using curse words. Why is it that parents can use this vocabulary, yet reprimanding their offspring for the use of the same words? They spend long hours teaching us to speak with the expectation of hearing and pronouncing these words, along with lexis uttered in our vicinity. I didn't teach you that. Where'd you hear that from? Why are they so surprised? The larger question at hand is really, at what age does one consider it to be curse-worthy? Should they legalize the age of certain words that are commonly found in our dictionary the way that they legalize the age for voting or drinking? Getting back to laughing, my favorite thing. I remember meeting up with my friend Linda. I was 9 years old at the time. Something funny was said, and I laughed wholeheartedly. You shouldn't laugh like that, she said. It's not ladylike. With complete amazement, I retorted with, who told you that? My mother, she replied. I was startled and actually wondered if her mother was some sort of odd creature. I couldn't wait to meet her. Needless to say, she was just another mother. It was then I decided how odd the world was. Why would anyone believe something to be true just because your parents said so? I'd finally come to this conclusion. Conceding that each of us is looking for approval, then the person who lays it on you is also someone looking for approval and therefore doesn't have the answers but a bunch of belief systems. I mean, the reality of the laughter thing is that it's not only quite healthy to let out a good belly laugh, but doing so would not make for a change in my genitals. So much for her ladylike pedestal. Guilt was another logical aspect of my life, especially Jewish guilt. It has always been difficult for me to feel guilty. I later learned through my mother's exhaustive attempts that guilt trips were a way to manipulate you by getting you to do something that you really didn't want to do by appealing to your positive feelings so that the other person can get what they want. Now, doing something that you know is wrong and getting caught at it is deemed as guilty. For instance, when I took tests in school and cheated, I did this quite often, as school seemed to be all about what you memorized or read, which I'll share in the next chapter. I devised fabulous ways to do this, including learning to write in such tiny print that I could store at least 2 answers on 1 fingernail. I even learned to write the entire preamble to the Constitution on a paper the size of 1 inch high and 2 inches long. Glancing at other people's test papers and setting up signals with my cohorts were pretty high on my list as well. So here I am in a movie called Up the Down Staircase, it's in chapter 5, where I play the part of a student. Since I didn't have any lines that day, I didn't get a script. The scene was taking a test, and I automatically did what I usually do. This time I'm just glancing at the answers, you know, from the guy next to me. The scene continued with the principal coming in and talking with the teacher about one of the students. As he leaves, he turns and says, "Third row, second seat, eyes on your own paper." I suddenly realized that it was me, and a garden of butterflies began dancing the jig in my stomach. Did the actor improvise? No, it was actually in the script. The butterflies had a field day, each and every rehearsal or take. During my teen years, I hung around with Jack, who would be my partner in humorous crime. There was a joke going around at the time. There were 2 elephants in a bathtub. One said to the other, "Pass the soap," and the other said, "No soap, radio." Sure, it didn't make sense, but people laughed at it anyway. We decided to make up one of our own. If 5 men were rowing a boat up Fifth Avenue, how many pancakes could the Empire State Building hold? 45, because ice cream has no bones. The idea was to tell this joke and just start laughing. Needless to say, the other person would either stare blankly or say, "I don't get it." That made the joke even funnier for us that the person was trying to figure it out. More laughter. It now becomes even funnier when the next person joins in, and the person you find, you first told it, goes into a fit of laughter due to both the catchiness of hysterical laughter and the victim having the common reaction. If you don't believe me, try it. Jack was a friend that had told me to write a book entitled The Many Lives of Bo. Neither of us remember why Bo. Could have been something to do with the song The Name Game. That mind thing isn't due to my being a member of CRAFT, C-R-A-F-T, which stands for I Can't Remember a Fucking Thing. We're talking over 40 years ago. My mind just keeps whipping around, which is why I've entitled the book Merle's Whirls. I had my signature into a teen magazine to have them analyze it. Here's what they wrote. The writing of Merle attracts attention because of its unusual maturity for her age. She's only 12 and a half years old. This girl is versatile and has many talents. Her creative imagination may be seen in the high-pointed upper loops and her simple, graceful capitals. She has dramatic feeling and ability to create unusual effects, which are revealed by her florist signature. The encircling spiral denotes that she is concerned with her own security and can manage herself deftly in difficult situations. The sharp-pointed tops of the M's and N's show manual skill, technical ability, and a keen analytical mind. The round, graceful, rhythmic forms at the baseline express her musical feeling and her receptivity and warm responsiveness. She is self-confident and ambitious to fully develop her capacities. Physical strength and grace are portrayed by the full lower loops and a love of dancing, beautiful clothes, and good living. She has only to continue to study with her usual buoyant enthusiasm and need not worry about the future. Well, was the analysis correct? Well, read on, my dear audience, and judge for yourself. And before I read you chapter one, we will now, while I have my thing here, we will pause for a song. We're still in the holiday season, so what the heck here. But...
It's not the light upon the tree.
I just love that song. Okay. Now, I click stop. Okay. So, what's the matter, Mallory? What's the matter? Well, say hello. She say, no, you're not going to meow? You're just going to just stand there? Did you want to read the chapter? No, because you did Katniss last week. All right, okay. I'm going to have you do something else later. You sure? All right, if you want, and you can come in later and read a piece. So here's chapter one. Come on. Don't touch. Did you touch that again? Okay. Leave it alone. Leave it. I know it's a mouse, but it's not that kind of a mouse. You know what I mean? All right. Goodness gracious. Uh-oh. What is my computer? You touched something. What is it doing? You know, that the hand is there. You know, that the hand thing? Huh? Oh, did it freeze again? Okay. Well, in the middle of this, if I hear something. Wow, man. All right, what's going on tonight with that computer of mine? I'm just wondering, again, what's going to happen if, let's see what happens if I, again, let's see. I'm trying to, what do you call that? Refresh. I'm trying to refresh this thing here. It's not wanting to do anything. This is not my night. Okay. All right. Yeah, so chapter one, childhood memories. My stripper name is Fluffy Vernon. Take the name of your first pet. Add the name of the street of your first address, and this becomes your stripper name. Amusement on the internet can certainly jog your mind. My family lived on Vernon Boulevard in the city-owned Queensbridge Projects. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the term projects, they are a myriad of low-rise apartment buildings clustered on one huge city block, having some common centers to meet or get in trouble with present and future playmates. Dad brought home a light brown Cocker Spaniel puppy, who we agreed to name Fluffy. It seemed like a great surname for a dog versus the names I've given to my cats, such as Barbara, Mickey, and Mallory. Unfortunately, the cute pet thing didn't last as project protocol dictated that one was not allowed to be in possession of such pets. In other words, this would not be conceived as a pet project. Okay, that's a bad one. It was bye-bye Fluffy, hello Skipper the Parakeet. If the stripper's identity involved, say, the first doll, Susie Vernon would be my nom de plume. Susie's a rag doll with straggling blonde hair, blue eyes, and a one-piece outfit that could be described as a blue long-sleeve jumpsuit with a hood. Susie was my favorite doll. This one day, I had brought her outside to play with. Some boy took her from me, ripped off her limbs, and threw her over the fence. The fluffy Indian-giving thing was traumatic enough. My dad came to the rescue. He retrieved Susie, sold the parts back, and did what he could with her now scarred face. Subchapter. Why take a laxative when you can scare the shit out of someone? I wasn't even 5 years old when I was taken to see my first horror movie. It was called The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. And had some dinosaur-like creature. Everything looked like it afterwards. Shadows, trees, you name it. The nightmares didn't seem to stop. And for a little kid like me, I certainly had a large set of lungs to aid in screaming. There were daymares as well, during naps. Neighbors must have questioned as to what my family was doing to me to create shrieks like these. Confiscating my stuffed animals didn't help. The year 1953 did not have movie ratings. Checking it out online says that it's not for children. I don't recall the movie, but Godzilla was a comedy compared to this one. Subchapter. Who owns that poor child? To see my present state, you would not have expected me to be described as being short, skinny, weak, and dark tanned skin. Short hasn't really changed, growing to a whopping 5'2". Skinny certainly has both, with age and my love of food. My mother equated looking pale with being ill-like. It was her idea to have us bask in the sun's rays until I was mistaken for an anorexic from India. I recall one summer in Miami Beach with my mom, my sister Marlene, her brother Danny, his wife Gladys, and my cousins Stuart and Donald, whose dad was the late great Jake Rip Gerson, one of the famous Wonder Five of St. John University's basketball team. My sister, cousins, and I were part of some pirate club there. Tanning? I've concluded that Jewish Americans want to appear as if they are Israelites. She said that I was void of an appetite. Mom, growing up in an Orthodox home, made all attempts to maintain a kosher environment, at least when it came to food. The law was broken because of our Jewish physician telling her that due to a vitamin deficiency, I needed to eat bacon. In truth, other than Chinese spare ribs, pork has never been my thing. Food games helped a bit. Eat these beets. It will make your cheeks red. In spite of not keeping a mirror in front of me to see if she was making it up, I did believe her. Tell me which ones are the peas and which are the carrots. That was a good one. We either ate canned or fresh vegetables. Canned, they were served cold, just out of the refrigerator. My mother also taught us to eat raw peas out of the pods. We were told the Jew could eat the peas, but not the pod. String beans raw, however, could be eaten whole, except for that root top. So here we are shopping for fruits and vegetables at the greengrocer. I would wait for her to go inside while lingering at the stands. Merle, stop that. I was dining on string beans or just picking out those peas, opening the pods, and wafting them down. How skinny was I? My sister reminded me that I would do acrobatics by standing on top of her bended knees while she was lying in bed. Picture this one. A group of adults are doing the bunny hop during the hurricane season in Long Beach, New York. I am a five-year-old at the end of the line, just barely hanging on, let alone trying to keep up. Forget hula hoops, as the craze here was to own a scooter that you built yourself. Take a wood board, separate and attach a pair of old ball-bearing roller skates, nail on a wooden crate to the front, and another board across the crate to use for handlebars. I didn't need one. I would sit in the open crate facing the driver and go for a ride in someone else's vehicle. The scooter wasn't a boy thing. Lots of young girls own one as well. Subchapter. Or is she just hyperactive? Can't you sit still? I would hear from my dad many times. Was it my active brain forcing my active body? Let's see. Breakfast. Dry cereal. Even if it was sugar-coated, had me adding sugar plus a ripe banana. This was alternated with bagels, crumb buns, and big cookies. Weekend breakfasts were even more special. Saturdays got us French toast. I used to love watching that layer of sugar melt on the top of each slice of bread, just as it came out of the pan. sundaes were even tastier. Aunt Jemima pancakes with log cabin syrup. I never cared for dried pancakes. You guessed it. Those pancakes had to soak up that fake maple liquid sweetener. Fact. When flour-ridden carbohydrates break down in your body, they turn to sugar. Do you see a pattern here? I have no idea why I can't sit still, Dad. I'm out of here. See you later. Subchapter. Whirl the brain while I'm still young. Mahjong was one of those pastime games that my mother, as many Jewish mothers, got caught up in. Although the social activity required four players, you can get away with a table of three. At the age of five, I became the necessary third and well taught. It was also around that age when grown-up card games were a household recreation, topped by the not-easy jigsaw puzzles. I would imagine that my parents, although not brilliant, had enough with chutes and ladders and goldfish. Hey, they wanted to have fun, too. Therefore, Chapter 2 shouldn't come as a surprise, which I'm not going to read. As for my doll, Susie, she still rests at my headboard in the same condition as when she was mended. It has become a fond memory of my dad reminding me that I, too, can survive almost anything. And so, okay. Well, guys, this is, again, going to be quite an interesting evening. Okay. My computer is having a crash again. Let's see if I can do anything here. Well, how about, I don't know if it would happen if I tried, I'm going to try a disk cleanup here. I asked somebody to call in. I don't know if it's going to even work. Goodness gracious here. I don't know what my computer is doing. But I don't have it. Okay. I'm going to do a cleanup over here while I'm talking to you. And in case it's somebody calling in, because I can't see it, I can't say hang on. I can't see it calling in. Call back a little later. It's 7:45 on my time. I still got till 8:30. And in the meantime, let's go back to the book. So now you know. Let's look at Pepsi Cola was invented by a young pharmacist named Caleb Branham in 1898. Originally called Brad's Drink, the beverage was first marked as a digestive aid and energy booster. It was renamed Pepsi Cola because of its pepsin and cola nut content. How do you like that? I used to snort Coke. And then the bubbles, they were bothering my nose, you know. Let's see. I'll just see here. The modern image of Santa Claus as a rosy-cheeked old man wearing a plush red suit was popularized by American artist Haddon Sundblom in advertisements for the Coca-Cola Company in the 1930s. Coca-Cola hit upon this advertising campaign as a way to boost slumping sales during the winter months of the Great Depression. This is the good depression we're going through rather than great, I guess. Let's see. George Washington, I'm still waiting for this cleanup of my computer here so I can see my switchboard. Okay. George Washington rejected a movement among army officers to make him King of the United States, saying, "I didn't fight George the Third to become George the First." Look at that. He rejected a movement. A lot of people, especially when they get old, will never reject a movement, you know? They're lucky. they can have one. That's what they complain about. More fiber. More fiber. Let's see. What else? I'll just see. The presidential elections of 1876 and 2000 both ended in a deadlock, with Florida's electoral votes in dispute. In both elections, partisan Florida Republicans gave the state's electoral votes to the Republican candidate, and Democrats challenged the result. Both challenges were decided by a single vote cast by a Republican Supreme Court justice in favor of the Republicans. Look at that. So in other words, in 1876, someone had a lot of money then, too. Millie's book, the autobiography of former President George H.W. Bush's White House Dog, was published in 1991. The book earned nearly $900,000 in royalties for the four times the $200,000 salary George Bush Sr. earned as president that year. Wow. I wonder how much I'll wind up getting with this, my book. Well, all of you people out there listening will buy it. Maybe that'll help. Let's see. The Basenji, B-A-S-E-N-J-I, Basenji, I guess, maybe, is the only breed of dog that doesn't bark. It yodels. Okay. The introduction of the traffic light predated the invention of the automobile. Oh, that's like putting the horse before the cart. Is that what they say? Cart before the horse? Whatever. What else is interesting? I don't know. I'm not going just grabbing things. They're all swans in England are the property of the Queen. And all queens are property of swans. In England, the Speaker of the House is not allowed to speak. His main responsibility is to preside over the deliberations. Well, shut my mouth. Starting to work here, the desk cleanup. Ravens are kept in the Tower of London, and according to myth, the British... Why not get away from this thing here? Let's see what else. Pink flamingos get their color from the beta-carotene content. Oh, it says it's going to do it. Okay. I got to that point. Okay, back. Pink flamingos get their color from the beta-carotene content in the shrimp they eat. Flamingos don't eat shrimp are white, not pink. So if I eat enough shrimp, am I going to turn pink? And a group of flamingos is called a pat. A group of frogs is called an army. Hello? Okay. I'm just talking to my computer here. A group of rhinoceroses is called a crash. A group of kangaroos is called a mob. A group of apes is called a shrewdness. A group of cats is called a clutter. A group of larks is called an exaltation. A group of owls is called a parliament, and a group of ravens is called a murder. Oh, yeah. A baby... Oh, let's see. What else? Male bees or drones have only one job, to mate with the queen. Those lucky enough to do so die in the act. Let's see. I don't want to talk about Hitler here. A natural instinct in mammals causes their hackles to rise when they are alarmed or frightened. While human beings no longer have thick coats of hair, they still have muscles that raise tiny bumps on the flesh known as goosebumps. So, goosey bumps. So when you get goosed, do you get bumps? Or you get bumped? Okay. If you are sailing in the Strait of Messina and come upon a castle floating in thin air, you're seeing an optical illusion called a Fata Morgana, which only occurs where there are alternating warm and cold layers of air rising from the surface. On average, in any given hour, there are 61,000 people airborne over the United States. I would love to play the commercial from JetBlue, but I can't do that. Let's just see something else here. The tombstone of Mel Blanc, the famed voice of cartoon characters Bugs Bunny, Sylvester the Cat, Tweety Bird, and Porky Pig, reads, "That's all, folks." Now, I don't say that these are funny, that this is just, you know, useless information. Steve Hillenburg created the Nickelodeon cartoon SpongeBob SquarePants, the story of a yellow sea sponge who lives in a pineapple at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean with his pet snail, Gary. Hillenburg got his inspiration for the idea while working as a marine science educator. Well, shut my mouth, you know? What? In 1946, Walt Disney Studios produced an animated educational film titled The Story of Menstruation in conjunction with the manufacturer of Kotex feminine pads. Yes. Chocolate syrup was used for blood in the famous 45-second shower scene in Alfred Hitchcock's movie Psycho. The scene actually took 7 days to shoot. Wow. Imagine all that ice cream that they had and with the extra chocolate syrup. Is it cleaning up already? It's cleaning? Is it? I think it's finally doing it. It cleaned up. Okay, let's see now if I can go back here. Months that begin on a Sunday will always have a Friday the 13th. When do we have this? December 13th. Oh, Friday the 13th fell out on a Saturday this month. Okay, let's see. If we're coming up there with the opera. That's what I have. I have opera. I also have Internet Explorer, but I tend to use opera mostly. Okay. The term devil's advocate comes from the Roman Catholic Church. When deciding if someone should be sainted, the church appoints a devil's advocate to give an alternate view. How holy thou art. There is no recorded date of Christ's birth. Christmas became an official church holiday in A.D. 320. Pope Julius I chose December 25th in an effort to absorb the customs of the pagan festival, Saturnalia, an extended hedonistic holiday marking the winter solstice, during which the normal Roman social order was turned upside down. I always wondered about the thing I always wondered about the dates. I mean, if it was when it was the year, let's say, 200 BC. I mean, I don't know what they really mean. I was told BC means before Christ and AD means after death. I'm not sure. But when it was the year, let's say 200 BC, since they didn't know, what was the year? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. Well, what happened? I'm trying to get, is it not coming up? I thought I, let's try again. Why today? My computer is like totally screwed up here. All right. That's enough, guys. It's 8:00. You can leave this alone. Next week, I can't even end it with my favorite, with the song, too. But next week, hopefully, we're going to talk about the rest of my trip other than going to Salem, towns of Newburyport, Gloucester. This is all in the north of Boston near Massachusetts. In Massachusetts. Let's see. Marblehead, Cape Ann. I think that will Peabody, I think, too. So we'll have a chat about that. I'll have different people coming on to talk about that whole area. That was my last trip. So until next year, well, everybody have a happy new year. Have a whatever new year. Get drunk for me, because I'm not. My show will be on Thursdays. So, 99, everybody, and sorry of my apologies to whoever tried to call in. What the heck? Yeah, the old computer screwed up routine. Bye.